In the last few days, we have gotten some really big updates on the Epstein files, and it's in part because of really great journalists like this one doing fantastic work in uncovering more details, and also in part because of survivors still pushing every single day, showing a tremendous amount of courage, pushing every single day to get the justice that they deserve, as, you know, the Trump administration and the DOJ are actively breaking the law. We don't have all the Epstein files. We still don't have all the answers, and they're trying to cover it up. And so I want to give you some of the details we have learned, starting with this article that is absolutely nuts. Before we do start, though, really quickly, my name is Chris Mowry. I do a daily video here on the Adam Ockler channel. It'd mean a lot if you go right down below. Check out my YouTube channel if you appreciate the way I do things. Maybe check out my most recent video. Hit like and subscribe. Really helps me out. And obviously here on the Adam Ockler channel, trying to give you all the news all as often as we can, all the time's pretty accurate too, all the time, as often as we can, from a Gen Z perspective, fighting back against right-wing media. And so if you appreciate what we do, it always helps if you go down below on this video, hit like, subscribe, maybe share the video with a friend or family. You guys have shown tons of support lately. Truly, we appreciate it. So let's hop right into this article. Again, this whole thing was originally broken. The news was broken, by Alyssa Valdez Rodriguez. 17 years ago, an Epstein survivor said four New Mexico politicians knew about Epstein's pedophilia and child sex trafficking. No one has ever done anything about them. One currently sits on the board of the state's largest children's nonprofit. A civil court document obtained by, I believe, the Pugilist. Again, this is the Substack with Alyssa Valdez Rodriguez, I believe, again, pronounced the Pugilist. So this was obtained from the Epstein files and trial archive and revealed that a survivor of Jeffrey Epstein's trafficking network gave sworn testimony in 2009, naming four powerful New Mexico politicians as possessing knowledge of Epstein's finances and his sexual exploitation of minor girls. The testimony was filed in active Palm Beach County litigation, available to law enforcement for 17 years and apparently ignored entirely by New Mexico officials, including the men named in it. As of today, not one of them has been investigated. The Pugilist is the first New Mexico news outlet to report on this document. And again, this is a screenshot of part of the document. Former New Mexico Attorney General Gary King was named in 2009 by a survivor as someone who knew all about Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile sex trafficking ring. Nothing happened, and he now sits on the board of the state's largest children's foundation. The document, case number 502008CA028051, filed in the 15th Judicial Circuit of Palm Beach County, Florida, and appearing in the DOJ files, contains answers from an anonymous plaintiff, a minor girl at the time of abuse, who described being trafficked by Epstein beginning at age 14, visiting his Palm Beach home more than 100 times between 2002 and 2005, and personally recruiting more than 50 other minor girls for him at $200 per girl. The abuse she describes occurred in Florida. Under oath, she identified more than 60 individuals she believed, had knowledge of Epstein's crimes and finances, among them the sitting governor of New Mexico, the state's attorney general, its land commissioner, and the sheriffs whose jurisdiction covered Zorro Ranch, which we've heard a lot about because we also recently learned that nobody has investigated this ranch, although it was one of Jeffrey Epstein's properties. In 2019, the Trump DOJ shut down any type of investigation into it and basically was like, no, we're not going to look into it. We're not going to go, you know, raid it and see what's going on there, which is a whole other piece to this story. Here's what those four men did after the testimony was filed and where they are now. Now, I'm going to tell you, you guys should go check out the Substack link in the bio. You should go read this yourself. I will give you the names. And if you would like to read, you can see where they're at now. And you can read about all the donations they received directly from Epstein. This would be Governor Bill Richardson, Attorney General Gary King, Santa Fe County Sheriff Greg Solano, and Land Commissioner and former Albuquerque Mayor Jim Baca. And so that was a huge, huge story. And while this was breaking, essentially, just a few days ago on the 11th, I'm recording this on the 15th, Democrats released an ad about their big press conference they were having in Palm Beach, Florida, relating to the Epstein files. I'm going to show you the ad, and then I'll show you the video from that event.
Have you ever socialized with Donald Trump? in the presence of females under the age of 18.
An international domino effect as millions of documents reveal Epstein's global connections.
The former Prince Andrew, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office.
Peter Mandelson, the UK's former ambassador to the US, has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office.
Alex Acosta is stepping down over his handling of a controversial 2008 secret plea deal with accused sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
From Europe, where the former prime minister of Norway has been charged with gross corruption, to the Gulf, where the CEO of one of the globe's largest companies, DP World, has stepped down.
Though I'd like to answer that question, at least today, I'm going to have to assert my 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendment rights. Sir.
The American public understand that there is a huge cover-up being directed at the highest levels around the Epstein files. These guys are going to be held accountable for the single largest cover-up in modern American history.
So again, the Epstein hearing, Palm Beach, May 12th. I will show you some of the video from that. Really great ad here from Democrats. And also just important, again, to continue to fight for justice, that as many eyes are on this as popular and people are putting so much pressure on their elected officials. Let's take a look at the May 12th hearing. This is about 3 minutes from that press conference. Take a listen.
Okay, well, thank you. My name is Robert Garcia. I'm the ranking member of the Oversight Committee. Of course, I'm here with members of the Oversight Committee, on the Democrats that are clearly focused today on the survivors and accountability, truth, and justice. We're going to hear from some of our committee members here in just a second. I want to just give some thoughts and then answer any questions. Now, we're here in Palm Beach County because so much of this investigation brings us back to this location. We know that the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, the horrible things that happened to so many women and girls, totaling 1,200, could have been stopped and halted had authorities here been listened to, had prosecutors who made recommendations to the U.S. attorney had been listened to, had survivors been listened to. But time and time again, whether it was at the law enforcement level or whether it was at the U.S. attorney's office by Alex Acosta and others, that justice was denied and survivors did not receive justice. We know that that led to the additional abuse and trafficking of women and girls, including of Rosa, who you heard from today. And you heard her horrific story. And had folks listened, that would not have happened to her and to so many others. We also want to be clear that especially after today, we want to hear and are demanding to hear from the line prosecutors and law enforcement officials that made some recommendations to prosecute additional names, to go after co-conspirators, and yet were denied those charges and that evidence was pushed back because of decisions made by the U.S. attorney at the time, Alex Acosta. Now, we've talked to Mr. Acosta in the past, and we have additional questions. And I think it's important for anyone that was involved in the case here in Palm Beach to know that while we have reached out to some folks to speak to us voluntarily, you will be compelled to answer questions when Democrats are in the majority. If you were involved in this case and tried to do the right thing and made recommendations to the U.S. attorney to bring prosecutions, we encourage you to testify and to bring your information to the committee.
And again, that's why part of the reason it's going to be so important to make sure you're registered to vote in 2026. You know, obviously, Donald Trump pulling out all the stops to attempt to hold power in the midterms, this whole redistricting ordeal that is so bad for our democracy. But if we show up, then again, Democrats can take the majority here, not only in the House, but potentially the Senate. And you can, again, start, you have a lot more weapons in terms of this fight for survivors to get justice in relation to these Epstein files. And again, we have also heard so much this week about Howard Lutnick. It is so gross and stunning that we don't hear more people from the right-wing sphere or anyone really in relation to Trump talking more about the fact that Howard Lutnick lied so egregiously, so outrageously. He this week had this private hearing, this private testimony, excuse me, about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. We don't have video of it, but as Ro Khanna said, if there was video of it, Howard Lutnick would be fired because it was so dishonest and so absurd. Again, there's this closed-door interview with lawmakers, and he had denied that he had been misleading about the Epstein ties. But as you probably remember in the video that you have seen, he claimed last year in an interview that when he moved next door to him, he was his next-door neighbor in 2005, there's this whole big story where he gets invited to dinner. He walks with Jeffrey Epstein. He's with his wife. Jeffrey Epstein's showing them around the house. He shows them this massage table. It's this very intricate story that goes on for about 2 minutes. And after this story, Jeffrey Epstein acted so disgusting, he decided, I will never be in the room with that disgusting person ever again. He's so gross. He's disgusting. But after the Department of Justice's release of the Epstein files showed continued ties between the two men years later, Lutnick admitted in a Senate hearing that he and his family had lunch with Jeffrey Epstein on his island in 2012. And by his family, I mean his wife and kids. So, like, just the most egregious lie. And if you watch this video, which we have reported on many times of his interview, about this very intricate story that happened in 2005, it's scary how easily he's lying and making up this whole story with very small, intricate details that clearly never happened. Let's listen a little bit more. This happened yesterday. Some reporting here. Judge rips Trump over Ghislaine grand jury docs request. Take a listen.
The press is in breaking news. A federal judge in New York has denied the Trump administration's attempt to mislead the American people into thinking that the grand jury transcripts in the Maxwell and Epstein criminal cases are the Epstein files, and has denied having those grand jury transcripts released to the American people. But before he does it, Judge Paul Engelmeyer in New York does a couple of critical things that advances the debate and the charges against the Trump administration for hiding and covering up the Epstein conspiracy. In the first part, he outlines all the ways Ghislaine Maxwell is not a victim, but that she was convicted of heinous crimes. I think he does that for a reason. Then he goes over all the ways that the government has previously promised that they would be completely transparent and release all of the documents, 300 gigabytes of documents. Engelmeyer reminds the Trump administration and the public for the public record of that as well. Finally, he looks at the fact that there are no special circumstances present at all to undermine what's called the rule of secrecy, which generally cloaks any grand jury process in secrecy so it's not disclosed to the public. The grand jury was just one day grand jury for Epstein, one day grand jury for Ghislaine Maxwell. There were two total witnesses in the grand jury, and the only people they testified about, Maxwell and Epstein, and that was it. Just summary witnesses by law enforcement. So the judge is like, there's nothing here that hasn't already been brought out to the public, and more is in the public based on lawsuits brought by the victims. The judge then goes on to talk about all the times the Trump administration has said to the American people they're going to be completely transparent and that they have the Epstein files in their possession. See, the grand jury transcripts are not even the Epstein files. This is the judge announcing to the world, I'm not going to be releasing the grand jury files, but they're not the Epstein files. The Epstein files, the Trump administration has. So here's the judge in his own way saying the same thing. Release the damn files. And don't come knocking at my door or sending the press to me, acting like I'm covering it up by not releasing the grand jury files. He says on page 19, insofar as the motion to unseal implies that the grand jury materials are an untapped mine load of undisclosed information about Epstein or Maxwell or Confederates, they definitely are not that. A public official, lawmaker, pundit, or ordinary citizen deeply interested or concerned who reviewed these materials expecting, based on the government's representations, to learn new information about Epstein's and Maxwell's crimes and the investigation into them would come away feeling disappointed and misled. There is no there there. I'm not.
Wow. Some really impressive, again, reporting here. And a judge knocking down a clear attempt by the DOJ to mislead. And again, all of this happening essentially this week. And I remind everybody, with all of this in mind as we keep pushing, the Epstein files were legally required to be released 147 days ago. If citizens ignored court orders and federal law for 147 days, they'd be in jail. When the Trump administration does it, nothing happens. Again, the DOJ being hyper-politicized, it's not about the law. It's about listening to Donald J. Trump. So if the DOJ is breaking the law, the DOJ is not going to prosecute themselves. If Trump or Trump's family members are breaking the law, the DOJ certainly isn't going to do anything about it because they would be fired, because it's all based on loyalty now. It is such a disgrace. Let me know what you think of all of this in the comments down below. I appreciate you making it to the end of this video. Once again, make sure you like and subscribe here on the Adam Mockler channel. We'll keep you updated. My name is Chris Mallory. I do a daily video here on the Adam Mockler channel. So I will see you in the next one.